Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, December 29th, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's a look at what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, California is set to start seizing firearms January 1st without any notice to the owner. Then, the feds want you to be on high alert this New Year's, even though there is no specific terror threat. After that, how 2015 was a dangerous year for journalists. And after many shady hires, the TSA is increasing screening of its employees.
I want you to explain how this iPad left at a TSA screening station ended up in your house.
My wife's, I'm so embarrassed.
Your wife?
My wife says she got the iPad.
That's next.
They do what they want. They're dirtbag crooks building armies of servile, minimum wage, ADIQ, low-grade morons who will do whatever they're told. I read the TSA blog where the TSA is in there commenting.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, we're in the midst of a never-ending war on terror, and it doesn't seem to matter who's going to be elected in 2016. They are pushing for even more war. And now a Democrat has come out calling for a little small surtax on the American people to pay for the war against the Islamic State. This is Senator Chris Coons. He's a Democrat from Delaware. He went on the Morning Joe show to call for just a small surtax to pay for this war. Never mind that it's been a totally ineffective air campaign that thus far has cost more than $5 billion. So Coons says that in addition to authorizing Obama's unconstitutional authorization for use of military force, Congress must levy a new tax on Americans to pay for military action against the Islamic State. Now, the U.S. has spent more than $5 billion on the war against Islamic State since just August 2014. The daily tab for fighting ISIS has climbed more than 20% between May and October of this year. We're paying nearly $1 million a day, according to the Pentagon's latest public figures. And the cost, of course, is expected to rise considerably now that Obama and his administration has said that they're going to even step up this campaign to wipe out the group. And like I said, this has been largely ineffective. ISIS has continued to grow. Current intelligence estimates are putting them 20 to 30,000 fighters. And they only just began doing these air campaigns against the oil field and being able to report that they've taken out the ISIS leader who was responsible for the Paris terror attacks. So it's been wholly ineffective. And now they're saying they need even more money. Well, I've got an idea of how you can pay for this war against the Islamic State. Stop funding them. Stop training them. Stop dropping weapons into their territory. Stop training moderate rebels who defect to ISIS. I mean, it's a total joke, and I'm sick and tired of my tax dollars going to this never-ending war on terror that they are basically promoting and funding here. But here's another idea of how to pay for this war against the Islamic State. Stop spending federal tax dollars on mosques with links to terrorist organizations. Now, this is the Islamic Center of Greater Kansas City. They've received $2.7 million from the Department of Agriculture since 2010. This is a mosque linked to the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, this money largely went to the mosque's Crescent Clinic. It provides services through their WIC program, and their most recent payout was about $300,000 handed out October 1st. Now, property records show that this mosque is owned by the North American Islamic Trust, which acts as a financial holding company for Islamic organizations. It offers Sharia-compliant financial products to Muslim investors. It operates Islamic schools, and it owns more than 300 other mosques throughout the U.S. Now, Joe Biggs is going to be reporting on some other sketchy schools here in the U.S. with links to terrorism that are, of course, being given federal funds coming up later this week. But now here's a report from John Bowne breaking down this small surtax to pay for the war on terror.
The year-end disapproval polls of Congress are rolling out. According to the latest Gallup poll, 82% disapprove of the way Congress is handling its job. Real Clear Politics congressional job approval is at 75.8% disapproval. Mainstream media polls even have to accept the boiling anger running its course through America. As the CNN ORC poll racks up to 75% disapproval, and CBS New York Times is at 74%. The holiday season isn't even over yet. And fresh off of the heels of the treasonous Paul Ryan-led omnibus funding of the Defense Department to the tune of at least $2 billion while ignoring an enemy invasion of the United States, meanwhile dropping a pile of cash on the sanctuary cities operations being flooded with non-vetted refugees, a ticking time bomb waiting to happen, all paid for by your tax dollars. Is it any surprise that the career corporate politicians that have occupied the nation's capital would start floating their latest bonehead idea from their arrogant bubble as if anybody in this country actually accepts it?
It seems to me that we'll have to borrow additional money from China in order to run this war. So let's have a war tax.
Now, more idiotic rhetoric from the left as Democratic Senator Chris Coons, who in addition to authorizing Obama's unconstitutional authorization for use of military force, minus the ground troops, says the Congress from hell should now levy a new tax on Americans to pay for military action against the Islamic State.
How are we going to pay for it? All the previous wars, as you referenced, before Iraq and Afghanistan, had a dedicated war surtax. And I think that's one way we could fairly pay for it, with a small surtax that exempted active duty military, families, and veterans. But there's other ways we could pay for it. We just can't keep going without even discussing it.
That's right. The little boys and their brand new shiny toys over at the Pentagon need more of your tax dollars to fund another one of their blatant fake wars with an enemy they created and support. Maybe we should send our war tax dollars to Putin, as he did more damage to ISIS in 3 days than the United States did in 1 year. Vocative reports the daily tab for fighting ISIS had already climbed more than 20% between May 21st and October 15th of this year, from 9.1 million a day to nearly 11 million per day. According to the Pentagon's latest public figures, more than half of these costs came in the form of airstrikes, which the U.S. has employed since August of 2014 to pound Islamic State targets. Munitions, logistics, and operational support accounted for the remaining costs, according to the Pentagon. Despite spending billions, the air campaign has failed to weaken the Islamic State, according to intelligence officials. A defense official told the Associated Press, "We've seen no meaningful degradation in their numbers." He cited intelligence estimates that put the Islamic State's total strength at somewhere between 20,000 and 30,000, virtually the same number as last August when the airstrikes began. Face it, you sell out ideologue suits bumbling around the district of criminals. The poll numbers and an average of black budgeted $1.6 trillion in annual never-ending war costs don't lie. The days of wagging the dog for the assumed idiotic taxpayers you've robbed year in, year out is coming to a screeching halt. John Bowne for Infowars.com.
According to the latest report from Reporters Without Borders, 110 journalists were killed around the world in 2015. But what's surprising about these figures is that this year, the majority were killed in supposedly peaceful countries. And the group lists war-torn Iraq and Syria as the most dangerous places for journalists, followed by France, of course, after 8 journalists were killed there in the jihadi assault against the Charlie Hebdo magazine. And India has been listed as Asia's deadliest country for media personnel. And they say that this high toll is largely attributable to deliberate violence against journalists, and it demonstrates the failure of initiatives to protect media personnel. And they talk about the growing role of non-state groups, such as the Islamic State Group, in perpetrating these atrocities against journalists. And we've reported here on numerous occasions that there is a war against journalists, war against the media here, and also we're witnessing a major war toward the First Amendment, which of course protects journalists. Now, something else that they're reporting, it's not just frontline journalists that are feeling these effects of constantly having to pump out this war propaganda. Reporters are now claiming to have PTSD from watching violent news. And this is according to a new study of media and human rights workers. They uncovered claims of PTSD and vicarious trauma from those who are working with video and audio that shows terrorist beheadings and city shootings. And the biggest impact came from the sound of victims screaming. They note that whether it's a broadcaster, publisher, human rights, or humanitarian professional, symptoms associated with post-traumatic stress disorder, previously only observed in professionals deployed in the field, are now evident amongst staff working in offices, what they are calling the digital front lines. So seeing some side effects, it's not just you who are being constantly terrorized with all of this never-ending war on terror propaganda. The journalists themselves, who are largely, that's their role they must play, are starting to feel the effects of this constant onslaught. I mean, I know for myself, I have my first silver hairs after working here at InfoWars, so it's not an easy job. Now, of course, we are heading into the new year, and so with that, there are not threats, but there is a heightened alert. Belgium arrests 2 people over suspected New Year attack plot. Now, this is the Federal Prosecutor's Office in Brussels. They said that Tuesday, police seized military-style training uniforms, computer hardware, and Islamic State propaganda material in raids around the capital there in Brussels. Investigators said that these were not linked to the wave of deadly attacks in Paris in November, but they do say one of the 2 was arrested on suspicion of planning attacks as well as playing a lead role in the activities of a terrorist group, recruiting for terrorists. The second one faces charges of planning and participating in the activities of a terrorist group. Now, Brussels has raised the terror level for police and soldiers, saying that they could be symbolic targets as well as other landmarks there. Parisians as well are fearing terror attacks for New Year's Eve, and they're planning all of their parties outside of the capital. Caterers say that their orders have fallen drastically. People are reportedly reluctant to organize events that involve a lot of people, and France remains in a state of emergency. The capital, they're on edge. They're getting reports of suspicious packages an average of 25 times a day. So people are definitely on high alert there. And of course, in New York, where more than 1 million people typically attend the ball drop there for New Year's Eve, they are planning extensive security preparations for the more than hundreds of thousands of people who are going to be ringing in New Year's Eve there in New York. Now, they said that they're going to be a total of about 6,000 officers on hand, but they're also going to be having about 500 plus officers from the new anti-terror force, the Critical Response Command. So these are people who are specifically trained and specialized there in preventing terror. And of course, even here in Austin, there is no credible threat, but the FBI is asking Austin residents to be on high alert. Now, what this is part of a program that they're wanting to get more people to start reporting suspicious behavior that could potentially stop a terror attack or an act of violence before it happens. Now, their experts are saying that People are using non-suspicious items like soda can or even children's toys to create explosive devices. Again, there's no credible threat against Austin, but they say they want people to report because there could be a threat that they don't even know about. So we went out to the streets to ask people here in Austin, have they heard of this terror threat? Are they concerned? How do you even spot suspicious activity in a city where everyone's a little bit weird? And, you know, we wanted to find out if this is going to be an effective maneuver or if it's just going to be putting people on heightened alert and suspicious of their neighbors. The FBI issued a heightened terror alert. Actually, it's been downgraded to elevated. And they're wanting people to report suspicious activity. We live in Austin. It's kind of a weird and wonderful place. How do you pinpoint a suspicious person?
Just look for them.
Well, do you know what to look for?
Not really.
How do you pinpoint a suspicious person?
Well, like, they look like terrorists.
It's leading to racial profiling. I think so.
Racial profiling. Yeah, like, if you see someone with a turban, you know, call 911, basically.
I don't know, if someone left a, you know, backpack in a, you know, crowded group or, you know, I don't know, necessarily think you can just racial profile, but...
Can also be like the white guy walking down the street. You know, it can be anybody. So,
how do you spot suspicious activity in Austin?
I don't know. Being that you're allowed to openly carry semi-automatic weapons,
does that seem suspicious to you?
You're allowed to carry assault rifles. You know, that's pretty suspicious, I think.
Do you think that this is going to be helpful and really stop something bad from happening, or make neighbors suspicious of each other?
I think make the neighbor suspicious and be too scared about everything. So I don't think it's we need to trust, but I don't know, this time is really it's a good time for bad people do bad things.
If it makes you feel any better, when I go to the airport, if I wear my beard, you know, I got pulled into the interrogation room last time. They tested my stuff. And this is when I notice anytime I go to the airport for travel, if I don't have my beard, if I'm clean shaven, it's like 1, 2, 3. But if I have my beard, I look, I guess, kind of Middle Eastern, you know? And then they pull me into the interrogation room.
We have wide open borders, so.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it definitely paves the way for a lot of discrimination and racism.
We've been scared by the media for years and years and years and years. And, they're never going to stop, and when you start doing that, it becomes like crying wolf. You know, people don't listen to it anymore. And so when people are really supposed to be vigilant, they're not going to be, because fear has been so hyped.
Do you think it's, you know, kind of pointless, though, because we have wide open borders?
I don't know. I mean, after 9/11, everything changed, you know, so anyone can be a terrorist.
Well, and if it's any consolation to the young man that we interviewed here in Austin that gets pulled into the interrogation room simply for having a beard, well, now the TSA is going to be increasing screening of its own employees because, as we know, it's contrived security theater meant to pull in innocent people. Now, stick around because we've got some open carry news as well as a little bit of history on Wounded Knee.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, "Wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype." And I said, "Here, take some home, try it." Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, "I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing." He said, "Why does it work so well?" And I said, "Listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself."
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Well, for years, people have joked about forcing politicians to wear logos representing the big corporations who have bought them out. Well, now this could actually be a reality in California if one advocacy group has their way. Now, this is California is not for sale, and they have a potential ballot measure. It's already been submitted to the Office of the Attorney General. It's expected to be able to start being able to collect signatures in order to secure its official place on the ballot there in California. This law would require legislators and candidates to sport the emblems of groups that donate money to their campaigns. Now, in August, the group organized a protest outside the state capitol building. They set up life-size cutouts of over 121 state legislators, including Governor Jerry Brown. They were all decorated with their corporate donors' logos from 7-Eleven to AT&T and Walmart. And this is a genius idea. I think that they should have to do this. All of the candidates that are running for president should also have to sport their emblems. And you know what? Hey, if you don't take money from these big corporations, then you don't have to wear any bling. Now, the reason why this group is doing this is that they say that this legislature has been plagued with multiple ethics violations and hearings. Last year, members of the governing body were flown to Maui. There, they met with corporate executives and union bosses. They funded that trip by funneling funds through a nonprofit organization. I mean, it goes on and on. The list goes on. So now they say, in addition to requiring lawmakers to wear the logos of their top 10 contributors every time they appear in the legislature, the proposed measure would also require political candidates to disclose their top 10 donors in political advertisements. And the group's leader says it's a corrupt system and it's got to change. Now, the group needs to receive 365,000 signatures to secure a spot on the 2016 ballot. They say they're confident that they're going to meet those requirements. And the group's representative says, as California is not for sales website asserts, big money in politics has gone too far. Average citizens don't have a voice, and it's time that changes. By highlighting big money in politics, we can raise awareness around this issue and give citizens the voice they deserve. So this is very important. If you want to get involved with this measure, go to their website. It is californiaisnotforsale.com. See what you can do to help them get the signatures that they need. And you know what? Hopefully this can be a nationwide thing soon, or a requirement if you want to run for president, because that is a big issue. We need to get big money out of politics, and it's a huge problem there in California. We saw, of course, with these latest mandatory vaccination campaign, that a lot of the politicians that were behind it were also getting funds there from Big Pharma. And of course, it would be interesting to find out who there in the California legislature is being sponsored for this gun grab push. Now, starting on January 1st, California is going to allow the seizure of guns without notice. This is going to allow authorities to seize a person's weapons for 21 days if a judge determines that there's a potential for violence. So this provides family members with the means of having an emergency gun violence restraining order. They can have it imposed against a loved one if they can convince a judge that allowing that person to possess a firearm poses an immediate and present danger of causing personal injury to himself or another person by having a gun in their custody. So totally subjective law there. And we've already seen them seizing guns from people's homes without notice, claiming mental disorders and things like that. Now, meanwhile, in Texas, on January 1st, we are going to start seeing open carry. And with that in mind, the Round Rock Police Department here has released a video to educate the public on open carry. They want to avoid getting calls from frantic citizens. So take a look at this video that's making this commercial that's making its rounds here in Austin.
They have a gun.
Effective January 1st, open carry is legal in the state of Texas. Law allows licensed citizens the right to carry handguns in plain view in a waist or a shoulder holster. Before you call 911, ask yourself, is the gun out of its holster? Is the person acting reckless, threatening, or a danger to the public? If you see something suspicious, call 911. Be open carry aware.
You know, Australia is a good example. Canada is a good example. The UK is a good example. Why? Because each of them had mass killings.
Somebody somewhere will comment and say, Obama politicized this issue. Well, this is something we should politicize.
I'm not going to carry a gun. I don't want to be involved in a gunfight.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in.
Go ahead. Make my day.
So the notion that gun laws don't work is not borne out by the evidence.
He says that the Chicago police had a plan over this bloody 4th of July weekend. Nonetheless, as you indicated, Corey, there was a count of casualties that could have been from Afghanistan or Iraq.
We'll make it harder for law-abiding citizens, and criminals will still get their guns.
In many cases, the offenders, felons, some out on parole, some out on bond.
We have to respect the tradition in this country of people who want to defend themselves and their family from violence. There are people at high levels in this government who have bodyguards 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The average American does not have that.
Mayor Bloomberg, why can you defend yourself but not
the majority of Americans. I mean, look at the team of security you got.
Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this, and we need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Was this the weapon of choice for a new kind of terrorist? When a 5-year-old girl said she and a classmate should shoot each other with bubbles, the school called it a terrorist threat.
AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Lay down your arms, you damned rebels!
But we don't need the ability to arm ourselves against the army or the police.
What kind of a situation in the U.S. would you see that happening?
I mean, we've got a lot of constitutionalists and a lot of people that stockpile weapons.
Discovered the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us.
To say we're not turning our guns in, and we're not running, and we're not backing down. If you want them, come and take them.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
You know, with all this talk lately about gun control, it occurred to me that I have yet to see a single politician who can explain to me how they plan to take guns away from the criminal thugs who are out there on the streets right now. Oh, sure, you'll hear plenty of talk about how they plan to take guns away from us law-abiding citizens. But if you take guns away from all of us legal gun owners, then the only people that will have guns will be the bad guys. In fact, I'm curious. I want to see a show of hands right now. All those for gun control, raise your hands. All right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. Anyone else? See there, that figures. All the usual suspects. Any questions?
My whole life has been so good. There's been a lot of trials and tribulations, but all of it's made me stronger. And I just want to experience this journey with you. I want our children to grow up together, and their children to have a future that goes to the stars and beyond, and we can do this. I just want to win. I want humanity to succeed. And I'm so sick of people that don't like humanity. So I get wound up because it's fight and flight, and there's nowhere to run. So I'm like a raccoon in the garage that somebody's about to kill, man. I don't have a choice. I'm going to fight.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is, it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants. And it, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well, and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the Shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
Well, today marks the 125th anniversary of the Wounded Knee Massacre. Now, this was the last major confrontation in the long war between the United States and the Native American tribes from the Great Plains. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to be playing an excerpt from our interview with Russell Means, where he remembers the Wounded Knee Massacre, and he also describes the United States, the entirety of the United States, being a present-day reservation. Now, David Knight joins me to break down this. Give us your interpretation of what Russell Means is talking about with the U.S. being a reservation, as well as a little bit of historical background.
Thank you, Leanne. Yeah, I couldn't agree with Russell Means more because, yes, America truly is a reservation. He wrote a book called Where White Men Fear to Tread. And in that book, he said, the American government has broken every treaty it's ever made with the Indians. He said, white man, your treaty with the government is your Constitution, your Bill of Rights, and they're destroying that right now. We need to learn some lessons from Wounded Knee. This is not simply a contest between the white man and the red man. No, this tells us something about the very nature of the government we live under today. It hasn't really changed, even though this is 125 years later. So we look at this, Leanne, and many people look at this and say, well, this is a race war against Native Americans. This was revenge of the 7th Cavalry. This was genocide. No, it really was democide, and that's what we really need to understand. Let's get a little bit of history here. Everybody's familiar with General Custer and his last stand, okay, the Battle of Little Bighorn. That had taken place 14 years earlier. It was the 7th Cavalry. That cavalry was the same one that was part of this massacre at Wounded Knee. So they were closer to that massacre at Little Bighorn, 14 years away, than we are to 9/11. And I found it very interesting that even though that had happened, even though they'd been at war with the Indians, they still had Indians on this reservation that had firearms. And that's one of the key things about this when it broke out. Now, they'd been on the reservation for quite some time, and we'll talk about the parallels between the reservation and our welfare system, just as I mentioned the parallels between the treaties that our government made and the Constitution. We'll also talk about what they did to the Indians in terms of education, how they tried to completely and utterly destroy their culture using an educational establishment. Does that sound familiar? But let's talk about the events itself. what was happening on that day 125 years ago. They were having a ghost dance. It was a ceremony. It was a religious ceremony, kind of a mystic thing that was going on. But also at the same time, the 7th Cavalry came up in a very provocative way, the same way that we see happen often when there are protests,
right.
Whether it's Ferguson, other places, the police will come or the government will come in a very provocative way to try to provoke an incident. And that's what they did in this particular situation. Said, you're going to have to stop this. You need to disband. We're going to move you off of this reservation and give us your guns. Now, there was one particular individual named Black Coyote. He was a deaf Indian. And he said, I don't want to give you my gun. I paid a lot of money for this gun. There was a struggle that ensued. There was a gunshot that was fired. Not clear who fired the first shot. But after that, it was on. And it was an all-out massacre. They used cannon fire against the Indians that were there. But let me read you some of the eyewitness accounts from an investigation from the Department of the Interior. Actually, it was the Commission of Indian Affairs at the time, 1 year later. And this is what they said. They said, right near the flag of truce, a mother was shot down with her infant. The child, not knowing its mother was dead, was still nursing. An especially sad sight. The women, as they were fleeing with their babies, were killed together, shot right through. Women who were pregnant were also killed. A woman who survived lost her daughter and baby boy. According to her account, one shot passed through the baby's body, hit her elbow, causing him to drop to the ground. She was also hit twice in the back. Now, when I looked at this, what this reminded me of was what happened with the FBI at Ruby Ridge back in the 90s. Okay, what did we have there? We had an FBI sniper, Lon Horiuchi, who clearly at point-blank range for a sniper knew that he was shooting straight in the head a mother holding her baby, armed with nothing but a baby. And what happened to Lon Horiuchi? Well, he was given a medal. And we have the people who were involved in this massacre. 300 Indians died that were there. They were later buried in a mass grave. Their bodies were stripped naked and they were thrown into a pit. The same types of democides that we see being done, whether it's by the Turkish government against the Armenians, whether it's by the Nazis against the Jews and other people that they oppressed, or whether it's the American government against its own people. And what they did was they gave out, there were 25 U.S. Army soldiers who were killed. 20 members who survived were given medals of honor by the Army. It's their highest award. Same thing they did with Lon Horiuchi, right? And as a result of this, there have been movements by the Indian people to try to get these medals revoked. 125 years later, the people who got these medals are long gone. But the government will not take those medals away. That is the most amazing thing to me, is that they won't take these medals away. They won't admit that they did anything wrong.
Right.
And, of course, you know, when we look at the reservation system, you mentioned Russell Means, and we're going to play a long segment from Russell Means, because we went out and Rob Dew and others were able to interview Russell Means before he died. And there was a very famous incident, Wounded Knee, in 1973. Russell Means and others of the American Indian Movement occupied that because it is a very important symbolic incident, both for the American government as well as for the Indians. The American government essentially was declaring victory in its war against the Indians. It was the last battle that occurred between the U.S. government and the American Indians. And I think when we look at this, we need to understand that the government wants to continually divide us into white, black, red, so that we fight against each other. But they use the same tactics against all of us.
Right.
They use the same tactics against all of us, whether we're white or black today, that they were using against the Indians in the 1800s. And when we look at this, it was not only the broken treaties, but it was a reservation system, which closely parallels the welfare plantation that they have created in America today. And that's what they did. They sealed them off. They took away their ability to earn a living. They keep very tight controls on them. There's a great deal of corruption with the Indian Bureau that's been well documented. Of course, there's been a couple of films talking about what happened with the American Indian Movement, Leonard Peltier and Russell Means. There was a director, Michael Apted, who did two films. One of them was documentary, Incident at Oglala. The other one is a fictional dramatization loosely based on those incidents called Thunderheart, stars Val Kilmer. So there's a parallel in that, but I think the key thing that we need to, in the little bit of time that we've got left, the key thing we need to talk about is, I think, the most important thing. And not only the welfare state and confining people, shutting down all avenues that allow them to be human, you know, confining where they can live, confining what they can do, constricting their movement. We're going to see control of transportation. But here's how you really destroy a culture, how you really destroy people. And this is what they did to the Indians. They took away, once they got them confined on the reservations, they took away their children.
Right.
They shipped them back east to boarding schools to completely cultural tie, you know, put them
culturally
into a
annihilate them.
Exactly. Annihilate their culture and educate them into a different system. And that's why the government wants to run your educational system. And if you don't want that to happen to your people, your family, your culture, your country, get your kids out of the government school. Put them in a private school, homeschool them, do something, but take control of their education. If you don't, they will take them away from you. They will take your country away from you. They will take your liberty away from you. That's the fundamental point. This reservation system, destroying and lying to everyone about this, it's not an issue of white versus red. It's right. An issue of democide.
Absolutely. And we are still seeing that. We're seeing children who are being raised in this socialized school system who are now actively trying to get rid of the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. They have no historical understanding. And it's just like you said, it's cultural annihilation, and people don't get it. They don't understand why America is fundamentally being transformed. And perhaps they don't want to hear it from you, white man. How dare you?
You know, Bill Ayers, it was far more dangerous once he got involved in education than he was when he was bombing buildings with the Weather Underground.
Right.
Okay. And it's far more dangerous to have a Muslim group come into this country and set up schools that are going to proselytize and kids for Turkey or whatever. Okay. It's far more dangerous for them to do that than to strap bombs on their bodies and blow people up at shopping centers. We have to understand where the real danger is coming from, and that's how you destroy a country from within. Every dictator, every would-be dictator understands that. Give me your kids at an early age, and I will change your entire culture.
My goodness. Well, this is going to be very important, and I know we'll be speaking about this more. So stick around, because after the break, we're going to be playing our interview with Russell Means and remembering the Wounded Knee Massacre.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutrimedical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Wounded Knee, on the Pine Ridge Sioux Indian Reservation, also known as Prisoner of War Camp 44. And here's the mass grave of the people who were massacred here at Wounded Knee in 1890. The massacre, of course, is well known among all American Indian people, especially of the United States of America, as the signature event of Indian history with the government of the United States. So then we had to come into the reservations. We were starved into it. Literally starved into it. But when we came in with pride and dignity. Even though we had been logistically defeated rather than militarily defeated, we became dependent because our food source was gone on handouts from the federal government. Starvation rations. And so they herded us up. And the 7th Cavalry, which had been defeated in 1876, at Custer's sensitivity training session, the United States and its military forces hold immense grudges. You said what happened at Fallujah. They started assassinating the leadership, first Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse, the last to come in to the reservations and give up their arms. Well, there was a Indian leader who was euphemistically called Bigfoot in English. He had his people. Well, the leaders were being, to his mind, systematically assassinated. He headed south with his band of people to come to Pine Ridge and came under the protection of Red Cloud, another leader. He was stopped. They had no weapons, because on the reservation, they took away your weapons. It's just like going to prison. They take away your weapons. They were stopped right up here on top of the hill from my ranch. And there's a sign up there on the way to Wounded Knee. The day before Christmas, they were brought down here. They were brought in from over those hills there, and they were camped along. This was a creek then. It's all dried up now, but they put a Hotchkiss gun up there on that hill. You know, the Hotchkiss guns fired rounds about like a 50 caliber. They put them up on the hills over there and up over here. See, then there were no trees. Just brush. And they put a Hotchkiss gun right here. And when it, when the order came, they massacred men, women, and children. Over 300. Then after they mowed most of them down, then the cavalry rode in with their sabers and their pistols, finished the job of the women and children and old people down in those ravines and down by the creek. And it was indiscriminate. They used sabers on babies and women. They loved to come along and hack. It was pretty gruesome. Their story, and the Army has to claim this, otherwise they're liable. We're the people who defeated militarily the United States of America, who had built up a string of forts through three states. And we burnt every one of those. He gave them up because we militarily defeated him. Now we're in this bowl, Wounded Knee bowl, surrounded by the armed might of the United States of America. And we're going to pull out one gun with our women and children and fire a shot. That's what they claim. And people believe it because we're Indians and we don't have a brain. Unlike Americans who have brains, but don't use them. They slaughter us, men, women, and children. And then the blizzard hits. And they bury, after the blizzard goes by, all the bodies are frozen. And that infamous picture of Chief Bigfoot frozen in a horrible way, his body. Then they stack us up. This is before the Nazis and the concentration camps. They stack them up, all our bodies along by this mass grave, and they all take pictures. And then, of course, we got the eyewitness stories in detail from the survivors. Bigfoot, ironically, was running to keep his faithful people safe from the cavalry, and they were all killed instead. This ground is consecrated with our blood. This land, now filled with Indians that are absolutely dependent on the government. For everything. For everything! At any rate, you depend on the government, and what you'll end up with is poverty. And a lot of paper. Because everything you do, the government requires a lot of paper. You have to fill out a lot of forms. Then they have to fill out a lot of forms. And then they go up to the next level of government, they got to fill out a lot of forms. And by the time it gets to where it's supposed to go, nothing happens. We have government health here. Our life expectancy, if you don't count AIDS, is the lowest in the world. Here. We are worse off than people in Haiti. Nah, you don't want the government taking care of you. I do not speak untruths. It's a never-ending cycle of poverty, dependency on the government. And in order for you to get ahead, you have to be like a congressman. You have to take bribes. You have to steal money. Taxpayers' money. So America is no different than this Indian reservation. You're dependent on the government now, and you're getting what you deserve. But every time you try to get away from the government, they'll kill you. Or put you in prison. Or let you become an American. If you catch my drift. Because you're the new Indian. You're the new American Indian. Congratulations. Welcome to the club. This land is beautiful. Belongs to us. And we should learn to take care of it. By fighting for her. She's worth it. And so are we.
That's it for the show tonight. Thank you for watching. We'll see you here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it.
InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.